afternoon in the house of the Lord. Should we just stand and sing number 320, Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By His stripes we are healed. By His blood.
We are healed, by His blood we are sealed. Brother Tez, sorry to be annoying, but I was just wondering if you would want to open in prayer this afternoon. If that's alright, do you want to come now?
Let us pray. Our loving Father, what an awesome privilege we have, Lord, to be able to come into Your awesome presence. We thank You so much, O God, that in the Spirit, even though we are here, and yet through Jesus Christ we are now up in the throne room of God. We are up where You are, and You are welcoming us into Your awesome presence. We come and we say, Lord, download. Download the gospel of Christ. Download Your precepts, Your concepts, Your ways to us, Lord, that we might not only hear and learn, but rather that we would apply what we hear, so that, Lord, we can allow You to transform us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we give You praise, glory, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Brother Tez. Should we sing 247, sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, You prepare for us a place. When we hold
get to heaven on a day.
Let's sing number 356, I Love You, Lord. Sing it one more time, just worship him this afternoon. Sing one more and then we'll have testimonies. I'm not sure if everybody's aware, but you have a chance to testify what the Lord's done for you. So if you'd like to share, just put up your hand and we'll bring the microphone to you. Let's just sing 317, There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. may be seated. If anybody has a testimony, just put your hand up and Paul will bring you the microphone. I think it's just a meal.
I'd really like to thank the Lord for saving me from quite a big accident, actually. I was coming down Ormond Road from town on Thursday, and I could see the Woolies Dairy on my left, and I was a car in the middle of the road turning into Riverside Road. I never saw anybody get into the car that was, as I was driving, I never saw anybody get into the car that was on outside the dairy. And so I was driving along there, and there was a car behind me. And just as I got to the dairy there, this person, whoever it was, I never saw anybody in that car, just turned right in front of me. I could go nowhere. There was a car on my left. There was, and she turned, or I shouldn't say she, because I don't know. And the car behind, I jammed on my brakes and everything was on my front seat, ended on the floor. But I had nowhere to go, and I really do thank the Lord, because I never saw that person get in the car. So she might, whoever, I shouldn't say she, that person must have been sitting in that car and just turned directly in front of me. I tell you, I got a fright, but I really do thank God, because it could have been a four car pile up. It was close. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Any others?
I just want to thank the Lord. Come down in part of something. And it was something like liberty and freedom. And I thought, thank you. Yes. And not only that, just his encouragement to read the word verse by verse. And it became intimacy. I think more of the glory, Jesus. Yeah.
No others? I'll just sing one more, and then I'll pass by the Lord. Shall we sing number 303, He Walked in Galilee?
Thank you. chorus again.
Bloody rose again, he rose again. The lamb was slain, bloody rose again. The
praise the Lord, he's risen again.
Amen.
You may be seated. If he hadn't risen again, we wouldn't be here. But he has. He's alive this afternoon.
Amen.
Isn't he wonderful? And we give him praise for that. We spoke on an important subject this morning, how to preparing to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's really a very important subject because we don't casually go into this. It's not just hit and miss thing. It's a supernatural experience that we all must have, to be filled with the Spirit. And so that was our subject this morning, and I've got something a bit different but similar, and in a sense I pray that the Lord will speak to us today. God bless you all. It's great to have you here. Hi, Sister Tina, isn't it? Leah. God bless you, yeah. And all you other ones, sister here, you told me your name, I've forgotten already. It's all right.
Marlene,
God bless you. And all of you, it's such a blessing to have you here. Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
He's wonderful. And so, I'm going to be away tomorrow, right through to Saturday. And I've asked Brother Taz to preach for us on Sunday afternoon service. So we look forward to that, Brother Taz. And you pray for him, that the Lord will bless him and use him for his glory. So I want to, maybe we just stand for this reading, to the first reading, in Isaiah 6, chapter 1, through to 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through to 8. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Twain means two, just in case you're not sure. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. We pray, Lord, that it will speak to our hearts this afternoon, just for a few moments, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we will receive something from you that's life to our souls. We ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this thought this afternoon, A Need for the Fire of God. A Need for the Fire of God. Who knows that God is a fire? Yes, he is. He's a fire in the wilderness. He led the children of Israel through. He was a fire on the day of Pentecost. And today he's still a fire. He comes into our hearts and he burns out all those things that we shouldn't have in there. So I want to speak about a need for the fire of God. And I want to read from, you can remain seated, of course, Luke chapter 24, verse 46 to 49. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That has not changed. God wants a church full of power. Who believes that? Say amen.
Amen.
We need the power of God to be in our midst. Not just good preachers, not just good singing. That's all good. But we need the power of God here. So may he grant that to us. I learned Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one place, one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise be to God. Isn't that a wonderful experience? You know, saints, we need that today. We really do. Well, I know we've had wonderful experiences, but you know what? We need more of God. You can't get too much of God. We need him to be in our hearts. So we just praise the Lord for that. So the main issue in each of these readings was the fire of God. If we read, we see that the fire of God was there. And greatest lacking today is the fire of God in the church. I really believe that. I'm not saying about any particular church. I'm just in general, even ours. I think we need a greater fire of God to be with us. To have the word of God is great, but without the fire of God, we die. The fire is the life. The fire changes things. The fire heals. The fire sets free. And without the fire of God in this meeting, we meet in vain. Who wants to see the fire of God?
Amen.
You know, it's just not just to see it. We want him to come inside of us. I want his fire to be inside of us. And may he grant it to us. Praise the Lord. Without the fire of God, the bride of Christ is going nowhere. Some are happy to see others receive and be blessed, but that's not good enough for me. I want him in me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So may God grant that to us. God has always used the fire of God. He's always used it. Moses was called. He was called. We all know Moses was called, but his efforts to deliver Israel failed miserably. All he did was kill an Egyptian. That's the end of his ministry. Until he met the pillar of fire. In the wilderness, there was a burning bush. He met that fire of God. I tell you what, brother and sister, he came down with a commission. Takes the fire of God and the burning bush to change his whole approach. And if you are called, you need the Holy Ghost. We all need it. You know, Brother Branham made a statement once. He said, no man, no person, no woman, boy, girl, I don't care who he is fit to go into the pulpit or even claim to be a Christian without being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the life. We need the life. You know, we can come to church and we become religious and we can say, this is what we believe. That's very nice. But what we need is the fire of God. People can see the fire of God in you, and it's the fire of God that changes lives. So this reading we read of Isaiah, he was a mighty prophet and great experiences. He wasn't just a church boy. He was a mighty prophet. And he had a good relationship with King Uzziah. He had a good thing going with them. But the nation was in a state of backsliding and pending judgment. That was the truth. And that's where we are today. This world is in a terrible situation. Brothers and sisters, we need God's fire amongst us. We need the power of God here. We need to shake us from the pulpit to the pew. You know, we need God to do that for us. And the day came for Isaiah's personal ministry and life. And God, he's got to bring us a day also for our personal life also. So what does the fire of God do? I'll tell you what it does. The fire of God burns out all the things we don't need. The fire burns. It really does. The fire does that. We see how great he is and how small we are. When the God Spirit comes into you, you don't feel great. You feel small. Because he's the great one. And fire burns out all of self, our greatest enemy. You know, I can say this truthfully. Our greatest enemy, my greatest enemy is me. It's not my brothers and my sisters or this preacher or that one. My greatest enemy is me. And your greatest enemy is you. He's the one that causes all the troubles. So when we focus on ourselves, we leave God outside. You know, brothers and sisters, it's so easy to do that. But in his mighty presence, we see him alone. I love that. When you get in the presence of God, it's not talking about us. When a man's in the presence of God, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about the Lord Jesus, and he's giving him glory, and he's praising him because we are in his presence. It's the presence of God that changes things for us. We don't see anyone else but him alone. And I love the story of Isaiah when he went into the temple. It says the train of the Lord filled the temple. In every corner there was the train of the angel of the Lord. And it filled every part of the temple. And brothers and sisters, when God comes into your life, the fire of God will fill every little corner in your life. God wants all of you. He doesn't want some of you. He wants all of you. Who believes that? He wants to take full possession of his children. He wants to live in us and have his way. Praise be to the Lord. So all of Isaiah's reputation meant nothing. You know, brother Isaiah, he was a mighty prophet and is considered today as a wonderful man of God. He had the power of God in his life. He saw visions. He saw the presence of God as we just read. But I tell you what, brother and sister, it says in Isaiah 6 verse 5, when he came to the presence of God and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, if he came in here this afternoon, the same thing will happen to you. Then said I, this is Isaiah speaking, woe is me. Now we don't use that word very much, woe. But it actually means a great grief and distress. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, brother and sister, when you get into the presence of God and he comes in, you don't feel, as we said, I'm a great prophet. It meant nothing. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. You see, when the fire of God comes down, it shows us who we really are without the Lord. We need the blood of Jesus. We need the power of God to keep us clean. We cannot be of anything in ourselves. It takes God's mercy and grace. So this experience is a must-have. It cleans you out of all carnal passions and unbelief. The grace of God is here when you feel least worthy. You know, sometimes when we think we're somebody, God can't come to us. He's waiting for somebody to be really humble. You know, it's always been that way. You know, Israel, in the days when our Lord came, they thought the Messiah is going to come. We want the Messiah. He's going to be the king. He's going to take over the Romans. He's going to set us free. And instead of getting a king, God sent them a baby. They got a baby instead of a king. And no one noticed him. Only just a handful of people knew who he was. But it was God Almighty in their midst.
And God can come down in absolute simplicity. Brother and sister, you come in our midst in such simplicity. And people miss it. They're wanting something great and big and spectacular. Something with great presentation. God's not in all that stuff. He's in humility and sweetness and power. And brothers and sisters, we just humble ourselves in the presence of God. He'll come and help us and bless us and draw us closer to Him. So I just think that's really amazing. There was a prophet thinking, you know, people think, well, when the Lord comes, I'm going to tell Him, Lord, I'm your servant. Here I am, Lord. I'm here to serve you, Lord. I'm here to take, you know, what is it you want me to do? You're a great prophet. He said, woe is me. Woe is me, for I'm undone. And I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm amongst a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, brothers and sisters, it doesn't puff you up, it brings you down. In the print, that's how you know it's God in you. It's not lifting you up and others saying, oh, what a great person he is. They say, oh, yes, I am. I'm God's servant. There's none of that. When he's there, it's all, we'll give the glory to Jesus. Who likes that song? We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love. That's what we have to be. So may God help us all, even today. So he had a wonderful experience there. You know what this fire of God does? It scours you all out, takes out all uncleanness, all those things. When I say uncleanness, I'm talking about anything that magnifies itself against the Spirit of Christ. It keeps you in a humble situation. God is in humility. He always has been. Gives us a burden to serve God. That's what the fire of God does. Not to serve yourself, but to serve others. And to serve the Lord and to be a blessing to God's people. It's not what we can get, but what can we get? What can we do for the Lord? That's a lot of people come to church, see what they can get out of it. I'm coming to the meeting, see what I get out of the meeting. It's not that. It's what you can put into the meeting. What are you going to put into the meeting? Are you going to bring a spirit of joy and liberty and worship and praise God? Or we come here for a show? Some people come to the service to see how good the preacher is. Maybe some come to see how well they can sing or the music or something like that. It's not that. We come to give the glory to Jesus. Amen. Who loves him? Say amen. Amen. Oh, it's so good to worship him. It's so good to praise him, brothers and sisters. We need it. We need to worship him in spirit and in truth. May God loose our tongues. May we worship him from our hearts and through our lips, giving glory to God. So may God just bless us even as we think on these things. So it gives us a burden to serve. Not what we can get. You know what? Isaiah, he was a mighty prophet, as we said. And the Bible says in verse 8 of Isaiah 6, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. But you know, he'd already been cleansed from the coals from off the altar. The angel came and got the coals from off the altar, touched his lips, and he was cleaned. God wants to clean us so that he can use us, as we said this morning. We haven't come to be entertained. We haven't come to have a nice experience, a lovely, funny feeling. No, brother and sister, we've come for God to clean us and to make us a real child of God. So may he grant it to us. So the fire of God brings changes in our life. You know, the early church was an amazing example. You know, when the first church, when they first got together, the Jews, you know, the disciples after Jesus was taken, the Bible says they all shut up, doors locked, like frightened kittens. They were afraid of the Jews. They had nothing to do. You know, they just were going to hide from them. But let's just read here in John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors are shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, then Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, peace unto you. They knew the Lord by the flesh. They knew him, but not by the fire of God. You see, brother and sister, when Jesus had the disciples, there's so many things had to be done on them. You know, they were still very carnal. They always argue, who's going to be the greatest in the heaven, Lord? Lord, can I sit with you next to your throne? Had all these carnal reasonings in their mind, and they had all these things, and they were fighting one with another. Saw Judas. He said, oh, that was Judas. He was still a disciple. He went and denied the Lord. You know, Mary, his mother, she had to go up to Pentecost to be filled with the Spirit. And so all these disciples, they had these things. Peter, he denied the Lord. He said, Lord, I'll die with you. And all the disciples around, yes, Lord, I'll die with you. Wherever you go, I'll go. He had great testimony, what he's going to do for the Lord. Jesus said, before the cock crow, you'll deny me three times. Oh, no, not me, Lord. Yeah, God's got a way of bringing things to light. There we were standing there, and Jesus was just, he was captured. A little girl came up, a damsel, a maid. She came up and said, aren't you one of the disciples? He said, not me. Another one came up and said, surely you're a disciple, you talk like them. She said, I know not the man, he said. Oh, he lied. And then another one came up, said, I'm sure you're one of them. I've seen you before. And the Bible says he cursed and swore and lied. I know not the man. You know what Jesus needed? Peter needed? The Holy Ghost. That's what happens when you don't have the Holy Ghost. You're too afraid to testify. You're too afraid to pray in the restaurant. You're too afraid to stand up for Christ. You hide like a kitten. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the fire of God. And what happened? These disciples all shut up, all shaking. Oh, the Jews, they're going to get us next. We'll be hung up on a cross too. That's what they probably thought. When the fire of God came down. Oh, I love it. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, brother. And Peter pulls back those doors and said, men and brethren, hearken unto me. The same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Oh, brother, sister, changes you. You've got a testimony on your lips and on your heart. You're ready to go out and tell. Who wants to speak for the Lord? Who wants to testify of His saving grace? You're not afraid. You're not, people say to you, are you a Christian?
Oh, I'm a Christian. I go to the church down there.
We don't want to be like that. We want to have a burden on our heart to go tell what the Lord has done for us. He died for us. He's redeemed us. He's given us of His Holy Spirit. And we should be out to tell others of what Christ has done. That's why we need the fire of God. Otherwise, we just become a church member. It's a terrible thing. And I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, because I wouldn't do that anyway. It's no use saying, well, I go to this church, I go to that church. You've got to have the fire of God in your heart. If it's in there, you can't hide it. You can't be a secret believer with Christ in your heart. It won't work. Just keeps coming out of you. I love the Lord. Who loves the Lord? Say amen. Well, it's good to praise Him. Say, I love the Lord. He likes to hear you say that. Because that's what we do, but we need to speak it out. He's the high priest of our confession. He's listening for your confession to see whether you truly believe Him. So they failed, these disciples, they were in this condition until the Holy Spirit came. Instead of being huddled up together in fear, the fire cloud came as a different story. You know what Jesus said? He said this in Acts 1:8. And you shall receive power when you go to church. No, it doesn't say that, does it? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and in Samaria and all unto the uttermost parts of the earth after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we said this morning you need to prepare to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm not just talking about, a little anointing every now and again. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be in your heart. You've got to take it out of church and down the street. You've got to be witnesses wherever we go.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Oh, I love what the Holy Spirit does to us. Out onto the streets they went. The power of God. You know, Paul, says he was zealous toward God. Very sincere, but that's not good enough. You can have sincerity without knowledge. Well, the Bible says zeal without knowledge. We've got to know what we're talking about. We've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. How can you, if I have an apple and I'm trying to sell you apples, you say to me, what does it taste like? I say, I haven't tasted it yet. Well, pay to take a bite out of it, at least if it's sweet or sour. You've got to know what you're speaking of. Brother and sister, you've got to know the Holy Spirit's real. You can't even preach the Holy Ghost if you've never felt His presence. Who believes that? Say amen. You've got to be a partaker. The husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. The Bible says so. So that's why we need the Holy Ghost. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 8. Praise be to God. It's about Paul. Saul, who became Paul, zealous for persecuting the church. Isn't that amazing? And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Just sound like Isaiah. You get in the presence of God, it knocks all the stuffing out of you. And Lord, what would you have me to do? That's all we want to know. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. Yeah, it's a good place to come from, is from the ground. The way up is down. Many people start up here and wonder why they don't go anywhere. We've got to come down. We've got to know the Lord in humility and brokenness, and then God can lift us up. And there he was, and groveling in the dust. But God spoke to him when he's in the dust. And brothers and sisters, when he arose again, what will you have me to do? And he said, Arise and go into the city, and I shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Paul rose from the earth, and with his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. You know, it's really good when you see nobody but Jesus. You know, all Paul could see was the light. He just saw the light of God. He didn't see any man. You know, when the three disciples went up the Mount Transfiguration, they went up on the mountain. And while they were praying, the Lord was transformed before them. And Peter, full of enthusiasm, dear Peter, he always has a lot of things to say, but he loved the Lord. And a good thing about Peter was he knew how to repent. And brothers and sisters, we've got to know how to repent. God's got to bring that repentance. And he said this. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build a tabernacle, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for thee, Lord. You know, brother and sister, we don't want any man in this at all. We just want God in it. And the Bible says that while he was speaking, God interrupted him and said, Behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And they were trembling as the cloud enveloped them up on the mountain. And I've been on that mountain too, praise the Lord. It would have been good to see the Lord there. But as the cloud came over them, they were trembling. And the Bible says, and when they looked up, they saw no man save Jesus. And brother and sister, we get the place where we only see Jesus and he can move in our midst. We don't want to see Howard Searle. We don't want to see Brother Lee or Brother Taz or anyone. We want to see our Lord. Amen. Who wants to see the Lord? We just want to see him. So God knows how to humble you. Praise the name of the Lord. When a man or woman meets the fire of God, they see Jesus only. Not a church or their ministry or how spiritual they feel. They just see Jesus only. Oh, I just want to see him. Who wants to see him? Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. Praise the Lord. How spiritual they feel. They just want to see Jesus only. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just want to see the angel. Who wants to see an angel?
Amen.
Do you believe angels are real?
Yes.
Absolutely. They're real, absolutely. And I want to see an angel. And you know, if you live right and do right and humble yourself and seek the face of God, he will come to you. He will. He's very wonderful in that way. And brothers and sisters, I remember a man in the Bible, the name of Jacob. He was blessed of God. He was anointed of God, prophesied over to be a man of God. But he wasn't happy. Jacob was not happy, even though he'd had the blessings of his father, blessed him and everything was going good. It wasn't going good. He was running for his life, actually. His brother was after him with a heap of soldiers to get him. He said, Lord, I want to see you. And that day he sent his children, his wives, across the river. He said, you go over there, I'm going to be away. I don't know whether I'm going to come back or what's going to happen to me, but I've got to go and find out what's going on. And Jacob climbed up the mountain. When he got up there, he saw a man standing. And it was the angel of the Lord. And the angels begin to wrestle with Jacob. And God starts wrestling with you. I tell you what, there's something in store. But you know, Jacob didn't quit. They wrestled, not a 5-minute prayer meeting. They didn't wrestle for 5 minutes. They wrestled all night. Now, brother and sister, when we're prepared to wait on God all night, and he started wrestling with the angel, how he did it, we don't know. Maybe God gave him strength. The angel says, well, the sun's coming up. Jacob, I've got to go. I'll have to go. He said, you're not going until you bless me. God loves that sort of answer. God loves you to say, Lord, I can't let go of you until you bless me. I need it, Lord. I'm going to perish without you. I need your Holy Spirit. When you get desperate, then God will come to you. You know what happened? He did bless him. He touched him. The power of God struck Jacob. And the Bible says he got a limp. He got a limp in his leg. He started limping around. You know, when God gets a hold of you, you walk differently. You act differently. Like on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says when they filled the Holy Ghost, they came down like drunk men, wobbling all over the place. When God gets you, you walk differently. And they started to speak differently. They spoke in other languages. When God touches your tongue, you'll speak in another language. It's a very wonderful thing to speak in tongues under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about something false. I'm talking about the real thing. It's wonderful. God can speak through you. And that's what happened to Jacob. He was a changed man when the fire of God touched him. And when his brother came with all his armies, he didn't run from them. He ran and he knelt down to his brother and said, I am your servant. He humbled himself. Wasn't that wonderful? And there's a great restoration takes place. When the Spirit of God comes on you, it'll restore you with your brother and with your sister. It'll bring a wonderful fellowship together. And Jacob, that patriarch, was blessed of God. And he'd met the angel of God. So as we come to an end to this, what about us in this last day church? It'll have to be the same. Brother and sister, we see a lot of apostasy around us. We see a lot of things going on that are not of God. It's not the Lord, it's man. Great enthusiasm, yes. Maybe great gifted people, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fire of God coming into your life and changing you and giving you a new experience in the Lord. And we're going to need it. Because I believe the persecution is coming as well. It's going to come against us. We're going to have power from on the inside. And we look upon the things that are coming upon the face of the earth. The Bible says perilous times shall come. But you know what the Bible says also, what our Lord said, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith upon the earth? He questioned whether there'd be faith here or not. He questioned whether there'd be any faith left. When you look around, the churches are all emptying out, including your own. Not too many people go to church anymore. Sometimes you get churches together because people love to have that, you know, the entertainment thing, the music and all that, and that's maybe all very nice, but I'm talking about the power of God in the church to speak and to reveal and to heal, to make whole. That's the age we're living in. Paul says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You say, I believe, but have you received the Holy Ghost since you did? Brothers and sisters, we need to do it. We need to be lit by the fire of God. We've got to be lit. You can have all the candles you like, but there's no light until they're lit. And we need to have that. Praise be to God. I really believe we need it. The fire of God is so essential for every bride member to be raptured. If you're going to get in the rapture, you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know that? You say, I go to church every day and I pray every day. That's wonderful. It is good. But you need the Holy Ghost in you to be raptured. The Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies by the power of the Spirit in you. That's what brings a resurrection. That's what brings a rapture, is when you are full of the Holy Ghost. Who believes that? Say amen. So we need that quickening power on the inside for God to transform us and lift us up and take us into heaven to be with Him forevermore. Who's looking forward to that? Isn't that a wonderful blessing to know these things? You can't be raptured in your own strength or your own enthusiasm. It takes God to do that for you. Praise be to God. Oh, how we need this, the fire of God. It's so needful. The Holy Ghost bride will be raptured. Those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, not those that come to this church. I pray they will be, but that's not it. Well, somebody else's church. It's nothing to do with it. You go to all the churches you like. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, when Jesus comes to take the Holy Spirit from the earth, he says, come up hither, and the Holy Spirit goes. All those that have the Holy Spirit come with him. Isn't that wonderful? Glory! Amen. Who believes us? Amen. Shall we stand to our feet? Brothers and sisters, we want his Spirit to take us. Amen. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride. The bride and the Holy Spirit saying, come. God wants to take us soon. And I believe that it won't be long where he will take us. So may he grant us the infilling of his Spirit. Brother, sister, I've been around a long time. I've been in hundreds of meetings all over the world. I've seen great big meetings. I've seen little meetings. I've seen the Spirit of God moving everywhere. I've been a wonderful, privileged person to see it. But I tell you what, I just want to be where God's moving.
Amen.
Absolutely. I don't care whose church it is. Whether it's our church or somebody else's church or whatever. I just want to be where God is moving. God is moving by His Spirit, moving through all the earth. So may God bless you all. You say, how do I get a brother and sister? Ask and you shall receive. Ask him, and he's the baptizer. Ask him for the Holy Spirit. As we said this morning, preparation to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is very important. God doesn't want anything false. He wants you to be real. And when you're real, then he'll be real. You be serious with God and he'll be serious with you. May God help us today, I pray. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to you this afternoon as we bring this to a close, Lord. I pray that the burden on our hearts is to be filled with thy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we just long to be filled with thy Spirit. We don't want to be religious or just be a church member. That's nice, but Lord, we want to be filled with the Spirit. Lord, to do exploits in the Holy Ghost, to be led of God, to see you confirm your word, the signs following. Lord, move upon us, I pray. Move upon every heart here. Those that are listening out on the internet, Lord, may you bless them too, we pray. We pray, Lord, for those that are thirsty. Those that are hungry and thirsting shall be filled. The Bible says so. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'll move upon us. In Jesus' wonderful name we ask these things. For your glory. Amen. God is moving by His Spirit. I'd love to see God move in other people, but you know, I want Him to see a move in me. I want Him to move in my life. I want Him to move in my family's life. I want God to move amongst us here. It's very nice to see what others are doing, and what that's wonderful, and I believe it's of God, but I want to see Him move in my life. Oh God, sister, I just want to say it like this. I was a kid. I was about 14, 15 when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I could never tell you the glory of that experience. It's not possible. I didn't have the vocabulary. I don't have the ability to tell you, but I tell you something. When you walk into the presence of Almighty God, you will know it. No one has to tell you this is what you do. You'll just be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? And He, you will praise as led of Him. And He will just, you'll worship Him in the Spirit. The Spirit of praise. Who knows of the garment of praise? He gives you that garment of praise to worship Him in the Spirit and truth. And that's what we need. It's no one trying to pop me up. But come on, raise your hand. Say hallelujah, hallelujah. No, not that. When the Spirit of God comes down, it just wells up within you. And the, oh, wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, lift up this mighty God. Song, no one know that song? Never heard that song before? Has anyone never heard that? Well, you have, you've just heard it. Let's sing it again, shall we? Wonderful, wonderful. Prince of peace, mighty God is he, saving me, keeping me,
You know, we want the Lord. Our hearts towards Him, as I said this morning also. But the Lord wants us too. You know, He wants you, each one of you, individually, more than we want Him. And we like our families, we love our families, we feel part of a family. It's the same in the spiritual. God's family. And He's coming for His own. And He's going to cause you to get that deep thirst, that spiritual thirst, to know our Lord personal. I could say I know the Lord, and I do. But there's a long way for me to go yet. It's a growing thing. I mean, a little kid doesn't stop growing, it just keeps on growing. Same in the spiritual. He's coming for us, so let's be ready for Him. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we're very grateful for what we've heard. We know it's the truth. How do we know that? Because we feel the confirmation in our heart. That's not man agreed to. That's God promoting what You've already spoken, Lord. Help us all to consider the things that have been said, to dwell upon them and then to walk in them, to move our feet. Help us, Lord, not to be quiet when somebody needs a little touch of the Spirit of God, and it may be well within you that the Lord will use your lips, your feet, your inspiration, which is just God-given, for them to receive part of it. Help us, Lord, to love one another, reach out and touch them and to encourage them. It's not a church that's going to save us, Lord. No way. But it is God Himself, Jesus our Lord, our Savior. Bless the people, Lord, that met us on the internet, Lord, those on the CDs, on whichever country they're living in, whichever language, Lord, bless them, uplift them, because they're part of the same family. We may not know them, we may not know where they live or their names, but they're still part of us as we're a part of them. Lord, help us to just go this afternoon, Lord, and to just consider the words and bless us and be with our families. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. We're also got a prayer meeting on Tuesday night here in the prayer room. 7 o'clock, all are welcome. You are dismissed.